Good morning. Welcome to Coffee Talk with Soy, your new morning show where real talk happens every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Good morning. How y'all doing in the cafe? Are you ready for some hot and steamy conversation this morning? What you drinking on? What you sipping on? Caramel macchiato? That's my favorite beverage right there. That's how I get my day started. Hot and steamy.
My mother and I had a fantastic relationship.
This is Stephen, and I just wanted to share.
You should always be in a place where you're celebrated. Life is too short to stay somewhere and tolerate.
If you cannot help a person, don't hurt them, especially the women.
It's always just whole essence is to bring out the best in other people.
Something that touches other people, and that's what your show does. It doesn't. It's not just conversation as you started. It actually has a purpose.
Good morning, and welcome to Coffee Talk with Soy, your new morning show, where real talk happens every Saturday at 10 a.m. It's your girl, Soy, bringing you stimulating conversations to the Blue Nation. It's always a joyous occasion here in the cafe. Think on it, drink on it, let's talk now. If Soy means I am, therefore you are bold, beautiful, intelligent, amazing, and leaving your insecurities and inabilities to be tested, then rested, while you have real talk with Soy. That's exactly what this is, a platform where you can have a conversation and you can unapologetically be you. Happy Saturday. Happy Saturday. I say that with my heart. I say that with my head. I say that with love. Happy Saturday, and I really appreciate all of you tuning in to the podcast this morning. I just want to say that, it's going to be an amazing collaboration today, not only today, but all month long. As we know, Father's Day is coming up in June. As we know, there's a lot going on in the country today affecting our African-American men. Yes, black men, I love y'all. I celebrate y'all, and I'm going to put my money where my mouth is by celebrating you all month long. So for the entire month of June, every Saturday on the show, it would be a male-related, male-directed topic. Yeah, I know I can't do it by myself. So I have partnered with some amazing men throughout the country, different backgrounds, different interests, different stories, different purposes, different visions, but they all relate back to men, how men live, how we see each other, how they see each other as well. And we're going to let them get on the air and just have some real men talk. And so, I usually refer to this virtual setting as the cafe while I'm drinking my caramel macchiato in hand. Yes, I had to have two cups because I had to get ready for the brothers today. So this is my second cup. But we're going to tag it Brew Nation for the guys, So I had to give them a little, give them a little pump, So we're going to tag it Brew Nation for the guys. Power to the men. We salute you. We love you. And we appreciate you. And I'm going to show you just how much I appreciate you all. So I said it off the air, so I'm going to say it on the air as well. If you know a brother that has a story, a purpose, or a product that is directly related to black men, please have them to reach out to me. I'm trying to support them as best I can. I'm using my platform because I feel that we all should be doing something because we know that black men matter. And if black men matter to you, what are you doing to show that? How are you recognizing black men in your life, in your world, in your community, in your home? We got to start where we are. And if you showing that black men matter to you is speaking out, then speak out. If it's writing, then write. If you an artist and you sing or, let your craft use you. And if you want to, march, and protest, do that as well. But I feel that we all can help. We all can demonstrate where we are, that black men matter. Black men matter. Black men matter. Before we get into the show, I have an announcement to make. I do want to say happy birthday to all of the Geminis out there that start to kick off their birthday. So we'd like to see another birthday season. I think this is like the third sign that we are seeing people celebrate their birthdays during this COVID period by coming up with creative ways. There's been Zoom parties. There's been private engagements and all kinds of other things that to show your loved one how much you appreciate them by celebrating. So I am celebrating the birthday of my 30-year-old daughter, Jasmine, is turning 30 today. So we have a couple of surprises in store for her, but I want to do a shout-out. I love you, Jasmine. Congratulations. Happy birthday. And she's a low-maintenance kind of child, daughter, person. So luckily we don't have to go too far out, but we are going to go as far as we can and show how much we love her and celebrate her birthday with her. Also, ironically, my godson, who's also turning 30, happy birthday to you, Joseph, and to my nephew, Miles Johnson, the little one, all born 6-6. So shout out to those who were born June 6th, and shout out to all other persons who are celebrating their birthday. No matter what it looks like, y'all, this pandemic is not over. So look out for your loved ones, you know. And those with the weak immune system, you want to keep them in mind as you go about your day interacting with others. Think of who you have to come back home to or who you're going to be visiting along the way, okay? Stay home if you can. Mask up if you can't, but be safe, okay? Stay home if you can. Mask up if you can't, but be safe. Be safe. Also, have y'all heard that they are there's been a blackout day for 2020. They have said that it should be July 7th. So if you're participating in that, let me know. I want more information about that. Apparently, they're saying that blackout day, you can hashtag blackout day 2020. They're asking that we do not spend one red cent. That's right, one red cent. We African-American people do not spend one red cent. We are to show solidarity in America by not spending. We want to show the world how we impact them. So let's hold our money. Hold your money. Keep it in your pocket. Zip it up. But do not, they're encouraging us not to spend any money that day. I wonder if that means we don't pay bills that day. Y'all find out and let me know. Let me know. Because is that spending? If you pay your bill, ironically, if you got a bill due that day, or should you just call them and postpone your payment? But do whatever you got to do. But don't spend any money on July 7th. That's what they've asked us to do. And if you are participating in that, holler at your girl. Let me know. SoyLatte@live.com. Please email me so I can get back to you. All right. So the moment we've all been waiting for, right, the topic we really want to get into is our men. Our men, it's a struggle to be a black man today. I know it is. It's a struggle to be a black man today. And for those of you who are doing it, my hat goes off to you. Prayers for you. Any way that we can support you, stop posting, start shouting. The world is listening. You know, we got the attention of the world, and they're listening now. So this is a good time to be heard. And not for y'all who are crying and doing that, can't get off the couch and want to play video games all day. It's another message for y'all. But there are some brothers out there that are trying to do the best they can. They're trying to make a difference. They realize that they have a purpose, and they're trying to walk in it. And we want to support them brothers. We want to support them, brothers. Because they go through a lot. You know, it's kind of emotional for me right now, but they go through a lot. They are, they go through a lot, and they deserve to be respect. So do your part, and let's respect them, and just think about how you engage with black men. What are you doing? How are you a part of putting them in a better place, whether you are a mom or a sister or a brother, an auntie, a cousin, a girlfriend, whatever your role is, make it impact their lives. Try the best you can to impact their lives. Think about how you communicate with them, how you're raising them. You know, are you holding them accountable? Are you enabling them? Are you motivating them? Are you punishing them? Are you disrespecting them? Are you encouraging them? Empowering him? Maybe educating him? Whatever you do to that black man, don't spoil him. You don't need no more mama's voice out here. Don't spoil him. Don't spoil him. Don't spoil him. But let's lift him up, build him up. And like Home Depot says, let's build something together. So let's build these black men up. And we're going to start right now by doing it here on Coffee Talk with Soy. So my show today, you all, is titled Mending the Brotherhood of Men, Strengthening the Kinship Among Our Men, Mending the Brotherhood of Black Men. Black men, that is, strengthening the kinship among them. And so in the cafe with me today to help kick off this robust conversation, I have an author by the name of Michael A. Carson. Now, let me tell you something about Michael, you all. Michael is an author, and not just of any book. He authored a book titled The African-American Inventions That Changed the World. So what he did was look at the 365 days, right, of the year. And for every day, he did research to identify African-American inventions that happened on that day. It's an amazing piece of work. You can find it on Amazon.com. I encourage you to get the book. Get the book. Knowledge, you know, just it brings so much knowledge to yourself. You can share it with your children, because there are a lot of things that we don't learn in school, you know, even during Black History Month. There's a lot of things we don't learn about our people and about our culture and about our purpose and what we've done. And I just, my hand goes out to this guy, my hat goes up to him, and I can do nothing but applaud and embrace him. And I'm so thankful to have him on the show. That's Michael A. Carson, you all. He's in the Atlanta area. He's a husband of 13 years, a father of one, and a black man all of his life. All of his life he's been a black man. And at age 43, he's making a difference by donating his written material to you. Michael says he's donated like over 1,000 books already to children through the support of other organizations in which he are helping to educate our children about the work of our African-American people. So let's welcome Michael to the show. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sister Soy. How are you? It's a pleasure to be here today and have a great conversation.
You know, Mike, we always have a good time, don't we, on and off the air. We always have a good conversation. I always walk away taking something from what you shared with me, and I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do for our culture, the community, and our kids. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it's my pleasure.
All right. Now, we can't have a brotherhood without having two brothers, right? Of course. So to assist Mike in his conversation with me, not that he's going to need it, but just to assist him in case he need a backup, right? In case you need a backup, I have someone who who is not a stranger to most athletes. He's a former NBA player and assistant coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Daryl Armstrong is in the cafe with us today, you all, and he is a father of three, a married man, and been a black man all of his life as well. And he's not only known for his talent on the floor, but this man has a passion and an enthusiasm for life. And I'll tell you another thing that he didn't know that I knew about him. that he has a birthday coming up on June 22nd. So we're going to celebrate Mike, too. I'm sorry, we're going to celebrate Daryl, too, by recognizing his birthday. So let's turn his mic on and welcome Daryl to the cafe. What's up, Daryl? How you doing?
Good morning, Sorry. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You had your coffee this morning?
I had my coffee early. I went back to sleep, but I'm back up, ready to go.
Okay. All right now. All right. Yeah, I
sorry, I got four kids. I got my last son in Atlanta, matter of fact.
Oh, okay. Is this the junior?
No, junior just graduated last night from Windermere High School in Florida, Orlando, Florida. And this is my last son, my last child. He'll be 17 in November, but he's in 11th grade and playing high school football.
Oh, okay. Okay, Big Daddy. So let the record show. It's amazing. He has four kids. He's going to stand up for his family. So thank you, Daryl, for being on the show. I appreciate you being here with me today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
So, Daryl, and you've met Michael, and you've heard about the amazing things that he's done. So Michael, tell real quickly, I want you to share briefly about some of the things that you have in your book so people can kind of get an idea of what's in this this piece of material that you've written about the African-American inventions. Why did you do this?
Well, originally, I did my first book, African American Inventions That Changed the World. It was inspired by me to do for my son. At the time when I wrote it, he was 7 years old, and he was doing a project for school where he was going to speak on African American inventions for that month because it was Black History Month. And needless to say, during that time, I didn't really know much about inventors that were Black. So I started doing a little research. And in my research, I found that there were so many things I didn't know. So in kind of teaching him some things, I was teaching myself. And I figured if I didn't know a lot of these things, I'm pretty sure a lot of other people didn't. So I decided to write a book on it and just educate the world. And, you know, the book has been out for about 3 years, and it's just been well received by everyone. The feedback I've been getting has been wonderful. This goes into detail about 42 inventors who did some pretty incredible things, and you would just be amazed by some of the things that were invented that we use every day that you had no idea was an African-American person who created that invention.
Thank you. And people can find the book on Amazon, Amazon.com. You can find the book. So do refresh the book. For those listening on Facebook Live, I post a direct link. So support this man. Support the material. It's a good material. I have the book, and I think it's awesome. So definitely check it out. So as we move on to talk about the brotherhood of men, our African-American men, our Black men, I kind of find myself being taken when I see organizations like 100 Black Men, when I see fraternities, you know, that have their brotherhood. When I see generational men come together where it's the father, the son, and the grandfather, and they're spending quality bonding time together. And I look at people like yourselves. Michael, you are out. This project pushed you because of your relationship with your son. And Daryl, you are coaching men, you know, and or young boys, or have a relationship with them. How important is the mentorship of the development of men, and how does that impact them?
Well, for me, especially coaching young men that are fathers and are becoming fathers and becoming leaders, and in this world, it's very important because, I mean, for me, my mom, and you don't realize it until you get up in age, and you get to 18, you get to being 15, 17, and you learn that what she instilled in you, to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, to know the right and wrongs of things. I knew I was brought up the right way, and that's how I wanted to present that to my kids, my son, the players that I work with, because at the end of the day, it's all about respect, and I like for our black men to respect, each and every person, whether it's a man, woman, or a child, or elder. Those are the things that, my mom instilled in me, and I thank her for that, because at the end of the day, I know what's right and what's wrong. If I choose to do wrong, I know it's wrong, but at least I know my mom put that in me to know all these things that goes on in life.
Michael?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Brother Darrow. He's absolutely correct. I can attest to that. It starts at home from a young age. And, as we grow, we always learn more. And it starts with that word respect. When it comes to the African-American community, I feel that we all have a responsibility to, to teach one another, to build opportunities, and, to also give back. If you learn things coming along, is always good to pass it along to someone else coming up. Each one teach one, and I couldn't agree more. A lot of times for us, it starts at home with the mother and father, and we pass it along to our children. But most importantly, we got to pass it along to each other. Anyone we mentor or anyone who looked up to us as people who are positive and doing positive things, just pass it along to the next person. You just never know the impact you're having on that person's life.
Amen.
I feel that's important.
So I have a question. I have a question for you, Darrow. So if we're talking about respect and mentorship, and mentoring is a relationship that is where the mentee has to look up to the mentor. Otherwise, it's hard to mentor them. And so with some athletes who are maybe the cream of the crop, as we know, some of our basketball players athletic players come out of distressed homes where, because of their talent, that has given them the ability to speak over authority in their household. And they may not even have a mom or dad that they listen to or respect, but yet they have to join a team and follow protocol. How do you deal with those individuals that have come from that place and they're transitioning where you have to lead or mentor them, and they're used to leading themselves?
Well, I mean, you always got to teach them. You have to say the right things to them, show them by your leadership. And it can be from, things that you say to the team, things that you say to players. Like for me, like I say, I had to jump in this leadership as a player real quick in the NBA. When we traded away Penny Hardaway, we had Shaq. He left 2 years before that, then Penny, we traded him away. And Doc Rivers' first year he was a coach. And, everything fell on my shoulders, which I was ready. I didn't know it, but I was ready. I was looking forward to that challenge of being a leader, leading guys. We was picked to win 10 games that year. Picked to win 10 games. And I had guys who the media didn't basically respect. and no. And my leadership had to start with first me, showing by example how to play, how to talk to guys, how to communicate with guys. And what a season we had. We missed the playoffs by one game, but we won 41 games. We was picked to win 10. But my leadership and not knowing that I had that type of leadership developing more during the season, you know, because we had first-year guys like a Chucky Atkins. He didn't even know he was going to be on the team. But when he got on the team, you know, I had to show him, I had to teach him, yo, play with confidence. You know, these guys are looking for you to direct them. As a point guard, you are a leader and a coach on the floor. You are the distant coach from the coach on the sideline. So you got to lead, and you got to know how to lead and how to call things and how to talk to guys. And so for me, that was big for me, and to continue to do it as a coach, even as I don't play. You know, now I got to lead by, you know, my voice and lead by talking to guys. And it's exciting to me every day. I mean, these guys look at me like I'm crazy sometimes because I wake up in the morning, early in the morning, ready to go. I have my cup of coffee. I'm ready to go. I'm talking loud early while they walking in, coming in slow. No, let's go. We got to get good today. We got to be better today. We got to improve today. So you know, those are the way I lead. That's the way, as a coach, I lead. And, you know, these guys know my energy, and they respect it, especially being an ex-NBA player. And they know I played, and I've been in the trenches. I don't won a championship. I've been in the NBA Finals 3 times, and I'm a free agent. I'm a Division II black college basketball player that wasn't drafted. So, you know, for these guys to see where I've been and where I came from, they respect it, and they listen to my voice, and I thank God for that.
Michael, in your dealings with the younger audience, and I think your relationship is with a younger generation, more I think elementary age kids, because one of your give back programs is to give away books. Did I mention that? Did we talk about that? Michael.
Yep, I'm here, Soy. You did mention that earlier. And, again, I couldn't agree with Daryl more. It all starts with leadership. You know, once you come into a place where you can mentor and teach, you know, I've written 2 books within the last couple of years. And one thing that I tend to do is, you know, I'm not just an author. I also work, but, you know, working in banking and working on a team there, that leadership is very, very important when it comes to, you know, enlightening and also educating. So one thing I've took it upon myself to do, I mentioned my son was an inspiration to me writing both books, and I visited his school on several occasions. He's currently now in the fifth grade, and I've visited different groups of children in his school, and I've also visited different boys and girls clubs here in the Atlanta area. You know, I've partnered with companies who has been happy with what I'm doing. And, you know, we just get out, we talk to children, we just make them aware of heroes that came before them. And, you know, growing up as young men and also young women, they have to know that whatever they're going to experience in life, someone has already been down that road. And you just have to enlighten young minds to say, hey, you can be whatever you want to be in life. It's just always good to learn about people who, who's done incredible things that, like Daryl mentioned earlier, you know, they have experiences and they took that leadership role and they just did incredible things with what they had. Just to touch on another book I did, the title is Today in African American History. It features every single day of the year different events and accomplishments made by African Americans from January 1st throughout December 31st. It has excerpts on every day, at least 5 or 6 events. So I take these books with me and donate it to these children. And, you know, you never know. It could change a life. And just the enlightenment and education of teaching the younger generation is just incredible. You know, I do dozens of Barnes & Noble signings also. And, you know, it's just all about getting information out there and, you know, and just leading by example. That leadership is very important.
Yeah, and you know what, Michael?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Soy. No, I was just saying, you know, I know Michael talking about, you know, the African-American stuff. And then I love that what the NBA as well, Michael, does. They give us, you know, African-American Month, which is in February. They give it to us. And, you know, I learn a lot still with some of the stuff that they put up on the big screen, you know, what some of our people have went through. And it's exciting to me that the NBA give us, you know, African American Month, that, you know, also Martin Luther King birthday, that we, you know, we get a chance, our black kids get a chance, our black athletes get a chance to also learn history as we go still in this, in our lifetime right now. And it's always exciting. So I'm happy that you, you know, you are inspired, Michael, by your son, you know, because our kids, you know, we are, you know, when we are fathers, we become fathers as black men. It's an amazing thing. And, you know, when you love your kids, you know, you'll go to the next level for them. And it's amazing that, like you said, your son has inspired you to write two books that you just never know who you're going to touch with these books. And it's amazing. So continue to do what you do and continue to touch whoever you can touch, because it might not even just be black folks. It might be white folks. It might be Hispanic. It could be whoever. So continue to do what you're doing through the love of your son.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you so much. You know, the NBA, as you mentioned, well, first off, been a huge basketball fan since day one. Growing up in New York, I came up with the Knicks, and just been a great NBA fan. They do have programs, and they do mention a lot during that month of February. And, you know, like you say, you just learn so much. And one thing I wanted to also give a shout out to someone you also may know, Daryl, is his name is Mike Glenn. He works for the Atlanta Hawks organization.
Yeah, Mike Glenn. Mm-hmm.
Yep, he's a close personal friend of mine, and I was in the process of this summer. I was going to meet with the Hawks organization, and we were going to try to do something at the arena where we can make a donation of 1,000 books to the first 1,000 fans.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of got set back a little bit with the pandemic, but you know, the NBA has always been great, you know, as far as reaching out to the community and just bringing awareness and mm-hmm. you know, just doing great things within itself. So that's pretty much what it's all about. Like you said, you know, it started with my son. He came home with a school project, and it turned into 2 books. So it's just inspiring stories that just want to get out to everyone.
That's great.
It's amazing.
Keep doing your thing.
That's amazing what happens when you're just in session, like Bell said, you know, loving your kids really takes you to another level. It reminds me of something that I heard. Who did I hear this from? It was Will Smith who said, he was talking about his kids at one point, and someone asked him about the kinds of movies and the things that he do. And he said that he always wanted to do something that his kids could be proud of. And he said, it's an amazing moment when your children can see me in your greatness, you know. And I thought about that. And I think about how, you know, whatever it is God has called us to be, you know, especially on this topic of black men this morning, whatever it is that he's called you to do, brother, whether you sing or you write or you're athlete or you're a mentor, whatever that thing is, whatever that gift is that empowers humanity, kids need to see us doing that. That is your moment of greatness. And I think doing that, like you guys mentioned, leading by example, doing those things, when your kids see you be great, it inspires them to be greater. So I think that's important that we demonstrate that in our community. Another thing I've been thinking about you all is I polled the community about what to ask you all when I get you here on the air, and people want to know your thoughts about the communication with men. Is there a lack of communication with men, or do men just communicate differently? Black men.
Mike, I'm going to let you start with this one, then I'll jump in.
Well, in my experience, you know, speaking through experience is that as far as communication goes, you know, I have a lot of friends that I speak with, and, you know, that was something I've learned a long time ago is that, you know, communication is key. And, you know, in any relationship, if it's, you know, two guys hanging out or husband and wife or any type of relationship you have, coworkers, communication is like first on the list, because you just don't realize when you're dealing with another person. I think as people, we kind of tend to assume that the person gets it. And a lot of times they just may not get it. You know, you got to open that line of communication up. For example, I have a friend who tells me about his relationships with his wife, and he kind of touches on things that he doesn't really tell her about. Like he'll say something like, you know, well, she should know me by now, and she should know the type of person I am by now. And I, you know, I respond like, hey, maybe she doesn't. You have to really open that line of communication up and tell her, you know, she just may not know. You know, you just can't assume people to know things. So any advice that I ever give with communication is just, you know, put it out there. Make the person well aware of your feelings and your thoughts, and, you know, you'd just be surprised on the response that you get. You know, communication to me has always been first on the list when you're dealing with any situation.
But you know what, Mike? I'm gonna jump in there before Darryl does, because I just want to take you all back a minute. How we raise our boys is what we say. When we tell things like, well, don't cry, you're a boy, don't, you know, we begin to teach them to internalize things and to not be expressive. And so we could very well be contributing to them the shutdown of men and really not speaking up or saying things until they just get overwhelmed with it and it comes out like a volcano. But, you know, looking at, you know, how we teach our young kids could factor into them growing up to be shut down. Not to mention, sometimes they just have so many awful experiences that they shut down anyway because they don't have anyone there for them. But even in a functional household where there's two parents, you know, sometimes you can find those individuals who do not know how to express themselves because they've been, you know, taught to, you know, to hold it in and be brave and be strong. You know, you walk around with your chest poked out and you're physically strong, but emotionally, you know, you're weak and immature, and the little thing just going to set you off because you have not practiced ways of communicating or speaking up for yourself.
Sorry, I'm gonna go with Michael on that. What he said is the number one thing is definitely on the list is communicating, no matter in anything that you do in life. You know, from basketball to being a husband, to being a dad, to being whatever, the communication is the number one thing. We talk about it a lot. You know, sorry, I go back to basketball, but we talk about it a lot with our young guys. Usually, when we talk about it on defense, how to communicate with each other, how to talk to each other. You know, when you're a husband, you're the communicator. You're the leader of the household, so you have to communicate with not only with your wife, with your kids, with friends. You know, you communicate with friendship. That communication is so important in this world today. You know, from, you know, whatever we do as a leader, how you communicate to who you're sending that message out to, you know, is so big. Because if you mute yourself and you don't say anything, you know, especially with basketball, I can't know what you're thinking. You can't know what I'm thinking. And if we're supposed to switch on a pick and roll, you got to tell me, switch. But if I don't hear you say it, then both of us might go with that one guy, and they throw the ball back, and this guy's wide open for a jump shot because we haven't communicated and talk our stuff out. So, you know, especially in a relationship, I mean, communication is so big. How you talk to your spouse or how you talk to your lady is unbelievable. But sometimes we just, you know, a lot of times we take it for granted. A lot of times we don't understand how that person might feel or things like that. So it's big and it's overlooked to me in this world today. You know, from race, you know, from you know, things that we need to talk about in this world today. I mean, you look at Drew Brees. He really didn't understand and communicated the wrong message to his teammates, to the NFL, to people out in this world, and right now he's paying for it, you know. So, you know, if he would communicate with his teammate about what this movement is about, he wouldn't have been in the situation that he's in now. And, you know, so, you know, just I never take it for granted. I think this is the most important thing when it comes to, you know, talking to people is that communication.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I've literally seen people who just gone for years, you know, holding things in and, you know, not with one another and, you know, sometimes it can cause friction or it can cause issues between the two people. And, yeah. You know, it just always starts with that open line of communication. It could, a lot of times things could just be avoided if two people just sit down and have a conversation. But, yeah. you know, people just got to learn how to get together and just have an open dialogue and just start talking.
Yes, yeah, I agree, 100%, I agree. I think that's the number one thing in this world today that we just miss. You know, this world has gone crazy. It's been shut down, and A lot of it come off of communication, people talking to each other. You know, the President Obama, he told us a long time ago about this, what's going to happen. And no communication from the new president, he decided to do something else. And, you know, so, I mean, all this is just so crazy right now. But, you know, I hope that we can communicate, especially with getting back to basketball. Our guys, and they're definitely doing it right now. Shout out to Chris Paul. You know, he's talking to the Adam Silver, commissioner, and they are figuring this thing out. And all that started with communication. You know, they are figuring it out. So, you know, hopefully this world can get back to going where we need to go, and that's up. Because to me, all this is just set us back in time, and we don't need to be in this situation.
Well, we're all hoping that we can mend relationships, mend these brotherhoods, each one teach one, you know, pick a brother up, raise him up, show love, show respect, be a leader, you know, and be a mentor. And for those who are our mentors, at some point you have been a mentee. And so, you know, we just keep recycling this program. And in doing all that in the perfect world, you know, we want to be responsible for someone, pulling them up and bringing them up. And then you have this theory of my brother's keeper in place. So, gentlemen, before we leave the air, before we leave the show, when you think about my brother's keeper, who are you keeping? And who kept you?
For me, especially with the situation that's going on in this world, and I miss him as a leader, because we don't have a leader today in this world who's supposed to be our leader. I miss Barack Obama. He showed me and he taught me a lot. I know he couldn't make the changes that, you know, he wanted to always make, but still, he led this country. He made me proud as a black man. He made me want to be a leader as a black man. And I thank him, and I miss him. I love his swagger, that confident swagger. That walking, when he walked to the press, with the way he talked. And then he had a lady on his side he had a lady that led as well, the way she spoke. She made me proud to be an African-American, and I miss that. And to see what we got today, and which we don't have no leader, I thank God for Barack Obama.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, when you talk about moving forward and starting with leadership, Barack Obama as well as Michelle was just, you know, the top of the list. You know, those guys, when they first came in office, they rolled up their sleeves and just led by example, you know, showing us the definition of what a true leader is. You know, leaders go in, they don't blame people. They, you know, they say, hey, the buck stops here. We're going to take a situation and lead by example and show people how it's done. You know, the true difference between Barack Obama and what we have now is this pandemic, for example. You know, if we had a leader in there that came in initially and knew what, you know, he was doing and took care of business, I quite believe we wouldn't be in the situation we are in now. You know, we faced situations like this in the past with pandemics, but, you know, it wasn't to this magnitude because we had great leadership. So, you
Amen.
Know, I,
Amen.
I definitely agree with that. You know, he's definitely missed as a leader, and Michelle gets her props as well, because that is really the definition of what you would like to see a family do. It's just lead by example, and you know, raise great kids and just show them the way as well. So, you know, the Obamas are definitely missed.
Yes, indeed. Hey, amen. I agree on that one.
So what's new? So what's new for you, brothers? Now, so we are. You believe we're halfway through the year? It seems like we haven't got much accomplished.
What's new for me is that I'm continuing putting the word out with these books I wrote. I'm currently writing a third book. And this time is I'm partnering up with my son Matthew, and he's 10 years old now, and you know, I've always been in the banking industry. Prior to this experience, I've never been a writer, but you know, I'm learning through him, and we do things together. So we're collaborating on a third book currently right now. You know, I'm trying to show him how to get in leadership roles himself. You know, when we go to book signings or we go to events, I have him explain what's going on with these books and try to tell people about them. This time we're going to touch on African-American musicians. We're in the process of writing that now. And that is going to be a fantastic book. When you go back, we're going to speak on 100 musicians that did some incredible things that just changed music forever. We're currently working on that, and it should be out towards the end of the year. And we're going to be hitting Barnes & Noble and, you know, just it's kind of like a part-time thing.
Michael, let me remind you this. So while you're planning to hit Barnes & Noble, don't forget to hit this platform right here, okay? I want you to debut here. So don't forget to keep me posted so I can bring you back on the air. So, Darryl, what's new for you, Darryl? How is this pandemic impacting you, and what's going to be different? What's new for you?
Well, for me is I like the movement of the protests of George Floyd, all the people who has lost their life to police brutality. And the movement of, you know, people marching, but marching and, you know, being peaceful, and not looting, because it's people whose places have gotten torn up. It doesn't deserve that, because, you know, I want the march to be about these African Americans who've been killed over the years. To change the way police look at black men, black ladies, and for me that's been big, because this has been overdue many years, and you know, for not only athletes. You know, for whoever to use their platform as African American to show, you know, it's time for change. It really is. And I just like that the protesters and the things, you know, that's going on. I mean, last Friday night, I went to bed. It's the craziest night probably of my life. I went to bed at 11:30, woke up 2:30 in the morning on Saturday morning with a fire alarm going off, not knowing what in the world was going outside of my apartment. I'm on the second floor, and I walk out, and I can see protesters, a police car being burnt right here at my apartment. Things, you know, 7-Eleven right across the street being vandalized, and all of a sudden, here we go, the whole police force, police tanks coming in, police on the street, horses, police on horses, and just to see that, and you know, it wasn't a peaceful protest, but it was crazy the next 2 days. I mean, I just wanted to see this world get back together. I mean, it kind of scared me. It shook me a little bit because I wasn't expecting that, and it shook me because, you know, and it wasn't only blacks. It was whites. It was, you know, blacks and whites out there protesting and throwing and looting and doing whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, it's time, you know, to show these policemen, look, you're using your authority too much. You're overusing your authority, you know. And I've been in a situation when I've been pulled over, and to have a policeman all of a sudden pull me over but come at me to almost make me be like, yo, what, you know, nah, you know, I'm not doing it. No. But I just, you know, stay calm because they come at you so aggressive when they pull you over. And it ain't the person, you know, especially when people say, what am I being pulled over for? What I'm being, you know, in this situation for? And they can't tell you because they're over aggressive. They got to learn how to handle people. And you know, like I say, it's tough because I've been in situations where I've been pulled over as an athlete. I was pulled over, and like I say, I know right for wrong, wrong for right. You know, my mom taught me right. First thing I don't say anything, who I am, what I am. I'm an athlete. You know, I don't throw basketball in there. When I'm pulled over, I just listen to them, and, you know, I don't have cops come back and say, you know what, I'm not giving you a ticket because you, and a white cop, I'm not giving you a ticket because you didn't even say anything about basketball, but one of your teammates I gave a ticket to because he said, you know who the F I am? You know, so I just learned, you know, I learned about policemen. There's some good ones. It's a good white policemen out there. It's a good black. It's a lot of black good policemen out there. There's a lot of crooked policemen out there. We know that. I know that. And at the end of the day, you want to make sure you handle yourself well and take care of yourself. And so for me, that police brutality is big for me right now because we're losing a lot of black African American people, and I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the pain. It's tough watching that video of George Floyd and that policeman with his hands in his pocket continue to put pressure on George Floyd, especially when he's pleading and begging and also calling his mom. It is no man. I don't care, black, white, Hispanic, I don't care what it is. No man, no person should have to die like that. And so that's my big thing. Let's get this right because we got to call on you to come help us. Or when we get stopped, we got to hope that you don't do the wrong thing. So that's big.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's hard to believe, but Rodney King was 28 years ago. I distinctly remember the early 90s. I think it was 92 when that happened. And here we are, 2020, and we're still fighting the same struggles of brutality. And, you know, it just has to end. It has to stop.
We're hoping that it's going to be a change soon. We're definitely making noise, so they are listening. Another person now that's listening is Brother Kareem Shabazz. He's been hanging out with us on the air. He's dialed in. We have him in queue, and we want to see what Mr. Shabazz has to say. Good morning, Kareem. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Good morning, Soy, and good morning as well to Mr. Darrell and to Michael. Thank you for having me on for, of course, a short while. I want to say first thanks to my friend Michael Carson, the distinguished honorable author who invited me and told me about this here. And to you, Soy, I think this is highly commendable, this subject, this topic we're talking about, mending the brotherhood of men. Quickly, I just want to say, you know, on this of mending the brotherhood of men, particularly as it pertains to us as African Americans, to black people, we have to remember this. Listen, there's no mending of us as men without us mending our women. Now, contrary to what a lot of people may think, civilization, culture, actually is measured by the excellence or the depreciation of our women, not our men, not our men. So we have to do this kind of like simultaneously. Because mending the sisterhood of women, you know, or our significant others, women are our wives, our daughters, our mothers. And without mending or repairing the relationship between our wives, our significant others, our daughters, and our mothers, there can be no sustained brotherhood. So we have to look at it like in a holistic sense. Or else anything else that we may be doing is just only temporary. It's just putting a Band-Aid on certain things, but it's not really fixing the solution. So this is healthy. We have to talk about this, but we have to come at it kind of like a surgeon. You know, when you go into surgery, you have to anesthetize, you have to have the right preparation. This is a systemic thing. It's been going on for a while, but some of the things that are occurring to us within our communities, self-induced, self-imposed. So at the same time, we don't want to be just like reactionary to things that's going on. This is right, you know, this is wrong. We have to do that. But after that's done, we have to be proactive. And a part of that proactive thing is just like Darrell was speaking about. He mentioned about the relationship with his mom, and Michael mentioned about the same thing with his wife, you know, his wife and it's his son. We have to repair the family. We have to repair our family. And then the brother's keeper thing, you know, of us looking out for our brother, that will come automatically. But we have to, you know, we have to repair our relationships with our mothers, with our aunties, our grandmothers, our daughters that are coming up. Because if we don't do that, then it's just a revolving door. It's just going to spin around and around. And on the subject of communication, hey, we have to open up the window. We have to open up the window, allow fresh air to come in. Speaking of which, I've authored a book. I give God credit. The name of this book is called Jesus and Muhammad, Two Rays of the Same Life. In my travels as a military man, you know, I saw a need to address this interfaith type of thing where people from different faith backgrounds can identify commonalities so we can break down stereotypes, break down different stereotypical ways that we put people in categories and build up walls that separate us. So in that book, identified a lot of things from the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet and things from Jesus, and I try to show how they show a sense of commonality where people from different faiths can better understand each other, break down misunderstandings, and better respect each other's autonomy. The book is available. It's on Amazon. Jesus and Muhammad, Two Ways of the Same Life. I encourage everybody, you know, definitely buy the book. But hey, we have to keep the conversation going. And it takes a village to raise a child. So I'm grateful to be a part of that village.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Kareem. We appreciate your comments. Appreciate you tuning in and good luck on your written material. And we'll talk off air. That can get you back on the show as we continue to talk about empowering
men. Thank you.
Well, Michael and Darrell, let me just say, it's been awesome having you here in the cafe for me, hanging out. Thank you for rising up, Blue Nation, and helping this come to pass. So you've been very inspirational to the people who are listening. You've gotten feedback, and I think this is going to be the beginning of change where we are. So thank you for sharing your story. your testimony, your views, personal and professional, the cafe this morning. So thanks again.
Thank you,
yeah,
Soy.
Thank you to you too, Soy. And Brother Darryl, it's been a pleasure. Brother Kareem. And, you know, Darryl, next time you're in the Atlanta area, we can all get together, Soy, and have lunch or something after this madness is over that's going on in the world.
Sounds good. And thank you, Michael. Thank you, Brother Kareem. And, Soy, thank you for having me on. I enjoyed this segment and hopefully looking forward to doing it again sometime soon.
All right. I look forward to that. I look forward to having you both on the show.
I just love this show, Coffee Talk with Soy. That is your new morning show where real talk happens every Saturday at 10 a.m. I'd like to thank the listeners and the guests for joining me in the cafe today. What a wonderful time we had. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Don't forget to download the app Coffee Talk with Soy from your app store. It's available on iTunes and Google Play. Stay connected, folks, by visiting the website, coffeetalkwithsoy.com, as well as looking for us under your social media sites. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the name Coffee Talk with Soy. Remember, the size of the problem is never the issue. Remember, it's the size of you. Be great because you are awesome. Tell them Soy said so. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Bye-bye.